Myers, this is Loria Chu's Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. And today, I'm trying something new. I wanted to interview a practitioner who is making canine rehab work for them. So with me today is Philippa Mitchell from the UK, which is very near London specifically, which is, of course, the point of reference for those of us not directly in the UK. And she owns and operates Active Pet. So hello, Philippa, and thanks for being with me today.
Hello, Laurie. Hello, everyone.
Fabulous. So we figured out our time zone differences, and we're making this work, Skype call, and I'm really excited because this, I think, will be some great content for all of you, the listeners. Firstly, I wanted to share with everyone why I'm interviewing Philippa. And basically, you know, now a while back, Philippa had sent me an email telling me that she had set up her new clinic and had been using info@fourleg.com to help her get going, and that gave me the idea to interview her and then some others of you guys out there too, to find out how she was getting going and how she's succeeding so far. And I really think that stories like this are really helpful to other people who are just getting started into the business. So this is great. I'm excited to talk to you, Philippa, and we'll jump in right now. Great.
Okay.
So first off, can you tell everyone a little bit about your background? So you're a vet coming into this, right?
Yeah. So I have a scoliosis, and when I was a vet student, I went to a physiotherapist, and we had the National Health Service over here, and the physiotherapist asked me whether she was okay if she did some acupuncture on my back, and I said, well, you know, if you want to, completely not believing that it would work, and it was brilliant. You know, I was just absolutely gobsmacked, and so I had 2 more years of clinical studies in my vet degree to go. And so I looked into doing the Western acupuncture course, and you have to be qualified for a year before you can go on it. So as soon as I'd done my year in practice, I was on that course. And then a year later, I did the electro acupuncture course, and then got very into learning about pain management and, you know, ways that you can help pets with pain, basically, because a lot of what I was seeing in practice, you know, these little old dogs and old cats who'd come limping in, and, you know, when I first qualified, there was no non-steroidals for cats. You know, they had a one-off shot of Metacam or Meloxicam, and that was it. So it was just a great way of me trying to help them. And so I did that for a few years, and then I kind of got into thinking, hang on a minute, you know, it's all very well and good taking away all their pain, but actually, if they're going to be sitting around doing nothing, then all the muscles are going to get wasted and they're going to start getting stiff.
Sure.
So I looked into doing a physio course, and obviously in the UK we have the ACPAT physios,
right?
But I wasn't allowed to take that course because I'm a vet and I'm not a physiotherapist.
Oh, correct. Yeah.
So I got into looking into doing the CRI course, and they were supposedly bringing that over, I think it was 2011, and they didn't actually get around to doing it until 2012. So I did the sports medicine module in April 2012, and then they said they would bring the rest of the course over later that year, but they never did.
Oh.
So I ended up doing the CCRP course instead.
Okay.
Because I could go and do the fast track one in Mallorca, because I really wanted to get going.
Mm-hmm.
And the CRI was just saying, you know, we don't know when the course is going to come over to the UK, and it was just too expensive and too much time for me to take out to go backwards and forwards and do a little bit of the CRI course.
Sure.
Yeah, so because they do the fast track course on the CCRP course, I went and did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did that in October 2012. And then I actually got made redundant from my job in December.
Now, that's a very British term. So made redundant, I think, if I explain it to everybody else, is basically they downsized or...
No. They, because of the financial situation around the world, I think the practice was just struggling.
Okay.
So they basically let me go.
Okay, right. I know that I heard from others in the UK before the term made redundant, and I think that's a lovely sounding term for, well, they laid me off.
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right.
So a month later, my husband then got made redundant too.
Oh.
Between the pair of us, we didn't have a great start to 2013.
No.
And I'd kind of been thinking about what to do. My practice was, I had two part-time jobs, so I got laid off from one of them. I still had the other one,
right.
2 days a week. And both of the practices would let me do a little bit of the rehab side and the pain management side, but it's not really cost-effective for them to have a vet. You know, when I could see, say, four clients in an hour,
sure.
To then only bill for one client in an hour.
Yeah, that's a common complaint I hear.
Yeah, so, you know, I would maybe have, like, a couple of hours on one of the mornings to see clients for that. And, you know, they found it beneficial, but it just wasn't, you know, paying them. It was great
right.
for when they were quiet, because I would have regular clients come in.
Mm-hmm.
They also, you know, I was limited to a consult room. I didn't have a treadmill or lots of space or anything like that. So I then looked into setting up on my own. My husband has a business background.
Oh, so, there.
Yeah, which was great. So he wrote me a business plan.
Oh, good.
And I went to the bank thinking, you know, I'll have to tweak it and do lots of different things to it. And the bank said, no, that's absolutely fine. We're happy to give you a loan. And the amount that I had meant that it didn't have to be a secured loan.
Lovely.
So I didn't have to put it against our house or anything like that.
Lovely, yes.
And I spoke to my mom.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're always moaning about, you know, they don't get any interest from the bank for their savings and things like that. So she actually lent me the money for the treadmill.
Oh, good on your mum.
I know. So I paid the loan part. I paid the interest back to her rather than the bank.
Oh, well, that's good. Such a good daughter. Such a good daughter.
So it took me a little while to find somewhere suitable.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get a change of use. I don't know whether it's the same around the world, but in the UK you have classes of use for
sure.
property.
Yeah.
So it was an office to my now clinic, so I had to get a change of use from an office to a vet clinic, which took a couple of months.
Oh, right, okay.
And then it took a couple of months to get the lease sorted out. And so I took on the lease in September 2013, so last year.
Oh, wow, you're just at the one-year mark.
Yeah, we're going to have a birthday party.
Fabulous.
So that's kind of how I got into it, really.
Well, that's wonderful, and certainly taking a leap of faith, you know, and I think that's what all of us have, you know, you get to that point where you're like, here's my leap of faith, I'm just going to do it because I want, it's in your heart, right, that this is how...
I think I'd also got a little bit bored of being in practice.
Sure. And,
so I'm quite a logical person, and I really enjoy, the benefit from getting to know the clients and their pets. And, you know, lots of people who've, you know, written off their elderly pets, you know, come in and say, well, you know, they're playing with their toys again, or they can do this, they're dropped on the sofa, the couch, they have done that for ages, and I find that really rewarding.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, even as a physiotherapist getting into this, I would say I find it even more rewarding than when I was working on humans. And I think the humans, that they're still, you do have lots of interaction and longer term interaction, but there's just such that emotional impact that you have when you're working on somebody's animal and how that impacts their lives. And you just, like you said, it's so rewarding, that aspect of it, and getting to know people on that deeper level.
Yeah, I mean, the nurses at or the vet techs at the clinic would often get to know the clients a lot better than the vet would. You know, it's an in and out kind of thing for us.
Right. No, that's great. So now, tell me a little bit about your facility.
Okay, so I am a about 20 miles out of the centre of London, mm-hmm. towards sort of northwest, just a little bit past Heathrow.
Okay.
I've got the nearest sort of similar facility to me is about an hour and a half away.
Okay, right.
So I don't have too much competition from, you know, standalone places.
Perfect.
I'm about 5 minutes from a main road, which serves between two quite big towns.
Oh, perfect, yeah.
And it's a converted farm. So I have one of the rebuilt barns in the farm.
Oh, lovely.
So it's all on one level. And you sort of, there's parking outside, there's five car park spaces, so no one has to walk very far with their pets that can't walk too well. And so I have a little reception area as you come in, and then you go into a treatment room,
mm-hmm.
and then you go through from there into a vaulted big space, which has got a lovely flat area for, you know, watching the dogs walk up and down,
nice.
Or, you know, doing exercises and things. And then there's a couple of little steps up, and then I've got my underwater treadmill. And then it's all shut away, all the machinery, the plant machinery is actually shut in the bar room, so I can close the door and it's nice and quiet.
Keep it quiet. Right.
Yeah.
And what all...
I have my mess down there.
And what all therapies do you offer? So what sort of tools do you use?
And my brain, mostly, I have to say.
Ah, good.
Lots of what I do is common sense.
Good, yeah. Yeah, which you realize is not so common when you get out there. You're thinking, really? How did it not occur to you to start walking your dog?
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, I do acupuncture and electroacupuncture.
Sure, yeah.
Obviously, watching all your lovely videos, I can now do some manual therapy.
Ah, very good.
And then I have an Eastern... stroke tens machine. It's a combination. I've got a couple of those I rent out to clients, and then some cleanup balls and wobble cushions and things like that, and then my underwater treadmill.
Sure, good.
So I am still saving for my laser and all those other fancy things.
Oh yes, yes. Well, that's when you get mum paid off for the underwater treadmill.
Yeah.
You'll have to. Offer her another investment opportunity in a laser.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, I mean, I keep looking and I keep seeing, you know, things come up on eBay and, you know, ultrasound machines and things like that, but I think I'm going to save.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, you are a sole practitioner, right? You're a one-man band and the chief cook and bottle washer, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So you're doing it all. Not even someone taking patients. You're ringing them out, greeting when they come in, and ringing them out when they leave, and doing everything.
Yeah, I did everything. I did the website design. I taught myself how to do websites.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
just learned how to do InDesign, to do brochures.
Oh wow!
The whole works.
Now we're going to come to that in a minute more, but let's stay on topic with the. With the practice. And so
yeah.
tell me sort of your hours of operation and how many patients you're seeing and where things are at right now.
Okay, so I have Sundays and Mondays off because I have clients who can't come in the weekdays,
sure.
so I decided to open on a Saturday.
Yeah, and that so tends to be a busy day, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tuesday to Friday, my first client is at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And my last client goes at 6:30.
Oh, wow. Comes in or leaves yeah. at 6:30?
Leaves at 6:30.
Leaves at
with
half
any
past.
Luck.
Yes, I know. But that's still that's a long day for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I normally get to the practice about half an hour earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably there about an hour later clearing
yeah.
up.
Right. Yeah, and that's,
and
you
then,
know, that's how it goes when you're starting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then on a Saturday, my first client's at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get finished. Hopefully, they leave about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, good.
So it's a short day.
A little more civilized.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many patients are you seeing a day in general?
It really depends what they're coming in for. I can
sure.
probably see a maximum of about 8 in a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Depending on whether I've got more sort of, you know, the everyone coming in for like the everything, know, rehab, acupuncture, treadmill, or whether I just fit in a couple of hydrotherapy treadmills in the middle of the day, because actually they're quite quick, they don't take as long.
Yeah, some of them can be.
So I basically, I just fit everyone in and just kind of jiggle it so that it all goes nicely, really.
Right. And so how long is are the clients in there for? So how long is your initial assessment and then your follow-up appointments?
So my initial assessment's an hour and a half.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a follow-up appointment is between an hour to an hour and a half. It depends on what they need.
Right, right. Well,
some
certainly
of the ones that...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I can say some of the ones that, you know, don't need acupuncture and things like that, it's more of a, you know, everything's ticking on long and nicely, they've had a TCA or something,
yeah.
Nothing needs tweaking, then, you know, it really is, you know, just showing them how to do their new exercises and going through them and then a treadmill session and then, you know, they're good to go.
Right.
So they're probably about an hour. And then some of the older ones, you know, need lots of mobilizations and massage and stretches and acupuncture and...
Yeah, everything you can throw at them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
So I tend to allow them an hour and a half for that, just to get them in and out and not have to rush.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, when you had, when we were emailing back and forth, I was looking at all the things you do that it looks like you are definitely going above and beyond. One in, you know, the time you're spending with the patient, but, you know, the client report, you said they're getting a 4 or 5 page report, and the vets are getting a full page report and updates in 4 weeks. So this has got to be taking you a lot of extra time on top of the actual therapy.
Yeah, I have to say, it kind of helps me, because it kind of also, the client report is also a little bit of a summary of my notes.
Sure.
And I just save it on the patient history.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it means that I don't have to write it again. So it kind of saves me a little bit of time.
Okay.
But I've just found that it really helps the clients just to, I suppose, bring together what the plan is and just make sure that they've understood and that they're on a level and they know where we're going and what the plan is.
Right.
No one seems to come back with, you know, and say to me, well, you said we were going to do this or you said we were going to do that. And I found with my normal vet stuff that I used to do, people would get quite confused because you just didn't have the time to sit down and actually write things down for them.
Sure.
And I think, you know, quite a lot of me, an hour and a half is a long time.
Right.
And you're telling them probably quite a lot of new stuff about their pet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just very overwhelming for them. So I've spoken to people and said, you know, have you found it beneficial? Just to make sure that, you know, it's not a waste of my time.
Right.
And they said, no, we absolutely love, you know, getting the reports. We really appreciate it. And it is only a one-off. They only get it when they come.
Right.
So although it does take a little bit of time, I hope that that also just makes my life a little bit easier down the road.
Absolutely.
Because they have an understanding of where I'm coming from and what the treatment is and what the plan is, etc.
Well, and likely helps with the compliance aspect as well.
Yeah, I really do think it does, yeah.
So it sounds like you've had great reception from the clients.
I've got some really lovely clients, really nice clients.
And
I'm very lucky.
Yeah, well, I think that's the kind of people that rehab attracts, you get fabulous people who are looking to do what they can for their dog. So I always say you're skimming off the top of humanity.
It's definitely a nicer subset of clients than I used to have in general practice.
Absolutely, yeah. And have you had good reception from your veterinary colleagues?
Sorry?
Have you had good reception as well from the veterinarians that are sending reports back?
Like everything, it's taken a little while.
Sure.
But once they've realised they're seeing the benefits, then I just get more and more from certain practices. They sent one or two to start with,
mm-hmm.
and now they're sending me, you know, quite a few. I have had a couple of clients go to their vets and basically ask them why they hadn't come sooner.
Right.
They hadn't been offered it sooner. Some of them, I had one man who was actually quite cross that he hadn't come because he had spent quite a lot of money on his dog and no one had offered and his dog was better after a week.
Oh goodness, goodness. Yeah, I've heard that before as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now let's get a little bit into the business side of things. Now, you had mentioned to me in the email that you had already begun to pay yourself. And so those of us who are in a startup business are like, oh, my gosh, wow, it's under a year and she's paid herself.
Yeah, I've been very excited. I had to start paying myself or else I was going to start getting very sticky.
I guess I just
worked really hard. I haven't, you know, gone out and bought all the tools that you could possibly have bought.
Sure.
I hope, you know, that they'll come later when I've got more money.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I've just been very sensible with what I have spent my money on.
Right.
I haven't bought the premises. I just lease it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see how I've got on so that I wouldn't be tied to a mortgage and things like that.
Perfect. Yeah. And are you still paying your startup loan? Sorry?
Yeah, I've still got a startup loan.
Mm-hmm.
I pay that off per month with interest.
Yeah.
And so by the time I've paid all my bills, etc., there is a little bit left over for me to take.
And you said for a haircut.
Yes. I didn't have my hair cut for such a long time because it was just an expense that I couldn't afford.
Right.
My husband put me on a clothes ban. I've been on a clothes or a buying ban for the last 2 years.
Oh, gracious.
So yeah.
Well, it's funny the little things that you learn to appreciate, right?
Yes. So I was very excited after having my... I think it was 6 months in between haircuts.
Oh, you're worse than I am. I can go 4.
I couldn't go 6 months, but I was driving me nuts, but it just was on the top of the priority list.
Oh,
And as I can wear my hair in a ponytail and the dogs don't really care.
No, that's the benefit. Now, so do you have any other previous business ownership? Obviously, your husband having a business background has helped, but what about you? Did you have anything going into this, or have you had to learn everything from scratch?
No, I've had to learn everything. I always said that I never wanted my own practice.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite adamant. I was quite happy to go to work and to do my job and get paid and not have to do the worrying bit. So I basically... I bought there's a BSABA manual.
Okay.
I don't know whether anyone else has come across them. And they do a practice management and development one, which is brilliant. I mean, it's for setting up a vet practice,
mm-hmm.
but quite a lot of it applies to what I have done. So I bought one of those, and then I've also got a friend who's a human physio who teaches Pilates,
mm-hmm.
and she has a studio. And so she's kind of been like my mentor.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And sort of helped me along and things. So she's been really, really good. But everything else I've just Googled on the internet. You know, there's quite a lot of marketing and business advice out there for free for vets.
Mm-hmm.
So I just read as much as I could.
That's great. And I'll just reiterate, too, so the BSAVA, no, BS, oh, you got to help me.
Yeah, BSAVA, British Small Animal Veterinary Association.
Okay, British Small Animal Veterinary Association, right. And so you basically, if others were wanting that, because it sounds like a good resource, you can find that online, right?
Yes, I think it's on Amazon in the UK. You can also go to their actual website and you can order it as well.
Perfect, okay, so that's a good handy resource. Now, tell me some of the things you've had to learn in business. You had said you figured out your entire website, SEO, social media, and all that. Please share a little bit more about some of the things you've learned.
It's really hard. And it takes a lot of time. I just basically sat down and first of all learned how to get a domain name.
Right.
So actually how to choose my website name, address, and then looked into, I bought a couple of books on how to design websites and how to do all the optimization for it.
Oh, wow.
And again, there's a lot of free resources on the internet that mm-hmm. you can just read for free. So I did that. So I just taught myself the whole website stuff. The business stuff, again, I just sat down with my books and just taught myself. I think I must be quite lucky that I can do it. But, you know, when it's £2,000 for someone to design your website,
sure,
and you haven't got that money, and I think probably my website cost me £100.
Oh, pretty good.
So, you know, and okay, you know, it's fine as it is for the moment. Maybe in the future I might want to have it all singing or dancing. But it does its job. It's number one in the Google ratings if you Google Axa Pet in the UK.
Good.
I don't know what it's like if you Google it somewhere else. But I must be doing something right.
That's great. So where did you set it up with? Like, did you do a, I don't know, there's GoDaddy or Vistaprint, or you just found someone that would host it?
No,
for
again,
you?
I looked into whether those companies were any good, and I actually read some quite negative reviews about, you know, the really big corporate internet companies. So I did a little bit more digging as to who else was out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with a company called Sohost, which is TSOHOST.com.
Okay.
And they're a UK-based company. They're based in Reading. And I'd read quite a few people who had really raved about them. So the other thing I learned was that you want to have your website hosted ideally in the same country that you're in. If it's going to be a country-based business.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just down the road.
Perfect.
And I've only ever had to raise a support ticket once, but they're brilliant. I've had no problems at all.
Oh, that's
and
lovely.
Because I'm not a website designer, I use WordPress to host my website.
Oh, there we go. Yep.
Yeah, with them, you don't have to do any of the FTP transfer stuff. You just literally press a button and it loads WordPress on your website, which is really easy.
Okay.
And they back it all up for me as well, so I don't have to worry about doing that.
That's great.
And they're actually not very expensive.
Great. Good to know. I've certainly heard good things about WordPress, so.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, WordPress is really easy,
Good.
I found a company called Headway Themes who actually do like a drag and drop website builder, so you don't have to learn how to code.
Oh.
I really didn't have time to learn how to code.
No, that's a whole learning curve in and of itself that I'm still impressed that you have gone to learning as much as you have about starting things. That's really quite impressive.
Yeah, well, I just wanted it to be right, but, you know, my feeling is if you get it right and you get the basis right, then everything else is much easier.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to be able to, you know, tweak the website myself and add things to it. And it is quite easy to do that. It's, you know, I can just go in and change something or add a photograph or et cetera, et cetera. And it's quite easy to do that.
Well, and I think that's so important, too, because the way that Google ranks a website is you want it to be dynamic. You want it to be changing.
Yeah.
You want to add a picture, add an article, and that makes Google like your website that much more.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
Now, tell me some of your marketing strategies. You would mention in your email about calling vets and meeting vets and doing talks. So tell me some of your experiences there.
Yeah, no, so the first thing that I did was basically to, in my quiet, when I first started off, obviously it's quite quiet, so I used to sit in the clinic and I used to phone all the vet practices. I went onto the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons website and they have a Find a Vet page on there, and you can basically type in a postcode and it will give you a radius for around you for all the vets in the area. So I basically started off with the ones that were nearest me and then started carrying all my way out, sort of up to about 20 miles, I think.
Oh, perfect.
It's very demoralizing.
Oh,
I don't know how all these drug reps and, you know, food company reps managed to do it. It's hideous.
Yeah.
So I have the utmost respect for them because it's really hard work and, you know, it's very frustrating.
So you...
And I thought, I thought it might be better because I was a vet and I wasn't trying to sell them anything, but some of them were really nice and some of them practices weren't at all.
Not nice.
To be nice to your reps, everyone, when they come.
Yes. Well, you know, I would agree that you get to a point where you have to have a bit of a thick skin. And as was pointed out to me, actually it was a vet who went into being a drug representative, salesperson, and
yeah.
She had said in some of her marketing training, you have to remind yourself that there are four different personality types. And you're going to have the empathetic who, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, you're telling them, here's my service, and they're going to say, oh, my God, that's great. I've got patients that are going to benefit from that, and they're on board. Then you'll have the academic who says, well, okay, fine, prove it to me. And then you're going to have the entrepreneur who says, alrighty, well, explain to me what's in it for me. And then lastly is going to be your skeptic. And you're never going to change the skeptic. I always say you're just going to have to wait for them to, you know, fall down and break their leg and come to the conclusion themselves. So it really is a little tricky. Like you said, it can be a bit demoralizing. So don't let that be your stopping point, right?
No, and even the ones that, you know, didn't want to make an appointment, I still sent them a little letter with some leaflets on the clinic so that they had them to hand if they wanted them. I also did a monthly series of lectures.
Oh, great.
So just on different things. So the last one I did was last Friday, which was on acupuncture in pets. But it was really difficult to get those publicised. You know, they went in the newspaper, I put them on the like local day out websites and things. I tweeted, I Facebooked, I did everything. But actually, they probably weren't the best use of my time.
Oh.
I might think about repeating them next year, just not writing any new ones, and hopefully I'll have a slightly wider base of clients.
Sure.
Who'll be able to tell their friends and things. I mean, I did one about senior cats, and I didn't have anyone turn up.
Oh.
So I went through all this preparation for doing this talk, and got, you know, the slides ready, and the projector out, and the chairs and things, and no one came.
Oh, gosh.
So you know, but you don't know these things until you try them.
No, and you have to try and learn.
Yeah, I had three or four people come to the one on Friday, and
right.
They really enjoyed it, and they said they'd wish they'd known about the other ones.
Sure.
But, you know, how to get to people is really difficult to let them know that you're doing them.
Right.
I put, you know, posters up in coffee shops, in supermarkets, all over the place, you know, places where people walk their dogs. I couldn't think of anywhere else to put them.
Well, and that's in part where I know I've harped on this a few times with some of the marketing stuff I've got on Foreleg is the one of the best things you can do is to start developing your own database in like an email marketing campaign. So whether it's MailChimp or like AWeber that I use, MailChimp I just bring up because it's free. Constant Contact, and one of those then that they're on your email list and they've volunteered their email for that so that you can get that to them, right? So that if email comes to them.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing a quarterly MailChimp newsletter for anyone
great.
Who signed up to that. So, you know, all my current clients get a little update of what's been going on with the practice and, you know, little featured pets of the who's come in and what's happened to them and, you know, a couple of little tidbits, you know, some little tips and things like that, and then, you know, where I'm going to be and come and visit and, you know, some, you know, fun pictures and things like that.
Oh, that's great. And you've also had a stand at some of the dog and horse shows too?
Yeah, so the Sunday before last I went to a charity dog show.
Mm-hmm.
This Saturday I went to the local country show, which we also had a dog show.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to one of the shelter dog shows.
Oh, wow.
Just to kind of, you know, just to kind of, you know, because you never know what works until you try.
Yes, I would agree.
So it's just kind of really a matter of trying things and just seeing what works, and then I can work out whether it's going to be a useful, worth my time to do for next time.
Right. Well, and I know myself personally that I think they say it takes 6 points of contact,
uh-huh.
6 or 7 before, you know, that you start to come into someone's collective consciousness. They start thinking about you. Me personally, I always think if I hear something 3 times, I know that for me, I got to start paying attention. If I were to hear of any one particular business 3 times, and I was kind of like, oh yeah, I should look into that, by the 3rd time, I'm thinking, yes, I definitely need to. So
yeah.
Sometimes just being in front of them enough times that they start to say, you know, I've seen you here 2 other times before, and what is it you do?
Yeah, no, I'm going to probably persevere. The dog shows are quite fun, actually.
Yeah.
And the country shows, you know, they're, I do like meeting new people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been kind of nice having a chat to people. And even if it's not something that they're interested in at the moment, that they don't need at the moment, just, right. But, you know, hopefully it's just tweaked something in their brain. And if they do happen to need me at that specific point in time in the future, then hopefully they'll think about it. I mean, I always have lots of people who came up and said, oh, you know, my friend's got a dog, you know, her dog would really benefit from this. Can I take a brochure and give it to her? And
of course.
So, yeah, of course you can. Take a couple.
Yeah. I bet all your neighbors need one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you've also gone out to meet groomers and boarding places and pet shops.
Yeah, it's been quite an eye-opener for me, because I don't know whether it's the same in, across the pond,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of talk about practices bonding their clients and how bonded they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, from my perspective, really, clients aren't bonded to their practices at all around my area.
Ah.
It's been quite interesting. I have one lady who, she's our dog groomer.
Yeah.
So my dog, he's a golden retriever, so he used to go just for a shampoo and set, as
mm-hmm.
it were. And she chatted to me about bringing her dog, and she's got an 8-year-old German Shepherd with arthritis. And Kira's been having a great time. She loves doing her exercises. She's done agility before.
Right.
And Jenny, her owner, is just like, you know, wow, it's been brilliant. So she's been sending all her clients down to me, which has been great. I've probably got about 6 or 7 clients from her.
Oh, fabulous.
Without really me having to do very much for it, which is nice. And quite a lot of my recommendations have come from word of mouth rather than from the vets.
Right.
Which I was quite surprised at, because I thought I would get more vet referrals than word of mouth. So it's been nice. I'm not complaining. I would much rather, you know, everyone's going out there singing my praises.
Good.
So it's been good, yeah.
And I would say I am not surprised at that. I would say that I think the people that I don't know what it's called, hang your hat, or basically put all of their marketing eggs on directing, you know, their marketing funds towards the vets, I think
mm-hmm.
are perhaps disillusioned, because it definitely is going outside the box to be able to contact the clients themselves somehow,
yeah.
that I think really grows your practice faster.
Yeah, no, I went around to all the dog groomers, the dog walkers, everyone. I had one lady who does dog sitting. She
mm-hmm.
came, so I had a couple of open days as well.
Oh, good.
So I had a few, you know, dog walkers and dog sitters come to those. You know, just, in, you know, to get my name out there, basically.
Because mm-hmm.
if they know that you're there, then they might not be in a position to actually need your services, but, you know, in the future, then hopefully my name will pop into their heads.
That's
when they have
great.
A problem.
What's been your best, do you think? Your best marketing strategy?
I think the word of mouth. I think going and just basically going and
networking.
Seeing all the dog groomers.
Oh, yeah.
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 I did a 20% discount for vet practice patients at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been quite good as well, because I've got quite a few vet nurses or vet techs who bring their animals
their own
to me.
Dogs. That's
and
great.
And obviously then they go and tell their owners, you know, with their pets and say, well, you know, my dog's been going for rehab and it's been brilliant, you should take your dog, kind of thing. And because they're doing it and they're understanding it, they're also able to explain what goes on to the clients as well.
That's great. That's great. Now, how do you see Active Pet growing in the future? So, where do you want to grow to? What do you want next?
Well, I was having this chat with my husband the other week because it was absolutely crazy busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't decided yet. I don't know whether I want to take on staff and grow the practice. He thinks with his business head on that I should.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it comes a whole host, you know, it's a whole different ballgame then.
Right.
I have to look after staff. I have to, you know, worry about, you know, their holiday pay and their sick pay, if they want to go and have, you know, babies and go on maternity leave and all those sorts of things. Because you have quite a lot of rights in the EU, in the
right.
UK.
True.
So everyone's entitled to having 6 months of paid maternity leave,
mm-hmm.
and then they're also entitled to having another extra 6 months after that unpaid if they want to.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have children, then, you know, it's great if you're a mum, but it's not so good if you're a small business, because you then have to find someone to cover them.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I know that being the flip side of that is quite a different story.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, if I didn't have to worry about that, then I would love a receptionist,
mm-hmm.
And I'd also love someone who's got a human physiotherapy background, just because I think that would really complement what I do, because I obviously come at it from a very veterinary medicine-based stance,
mm-hmm.
whereas I think someone else would come at it from, you know, the more of the physiotherapy type stance. But, yeah, watch this space, I think. I'm still deciding.
Yeah. Well, I know my thoughts and what I've found before is it always you get pushed to that point of overwhelm, and then it's another one where you got to take that leap of faith when you hire staff, and it's just a matter of figuring out where's your best staff member, right? Is it someone else? So maybe the physio who can help bring in income, or is it the receptionist that keeps you sane? So it's always a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, the other option would be for me to have a waiting list, but then, you know, if you've got something which is a little bit more urgent, then that's not ideal.
Yeah, it's tricky,
So, it's not quite got to there yet, so I'm just thinking about
You're in that close to point of overwhelm.
Yeah.
Now, looking back, is there anything you think you would have done differently in starting up?
I wish I could have had hindsight. And to know that actually the practice was going to be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think maybe I probably wouldn't have bought quite so many peanut balls. Because I haven't really used the really big ones very much at all.
No.
I think I've been relatively sensible. Everything has had to be justified.
Mm-hmm.
For spending money and buying things. Again, you know, I did lots of the stuff, you know, painting the place, etc., myself.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, probably not. There's things that I've learned, but I don't think there's anything that I would definitely have done differently.
That's great, yeah. Good for you. So then lastly, is there anything more that you'd like to comment on? Anything you want to add or suggestions for listeners who are just starting up?
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to Four Leg, because that's definitely been my saving grace. Because you just don't get the practical side of things. You can read all the books.
Sure.
You know, which there aren't many, but, you know, you can read all the books, but it's actually the little tips and the tricks and, you know, all those sorts of things that I found really helpful. I try and read one of your little presentations. I used to try and read one a night every night.
Oh, wow.
So just to try and keep up. I do really enjoy it, and I think you have to just realise that it's going to be really hard work. really hard work, especially if you're, you know, doing it on your own.
Well, I didn't even want to attempt to try and calculate how many hours you likely put in a week. In addition to just practicing, how many extra hours you must put in to get yourself to here, but that is the typical entrepreneur, isn't it?
Yeah, and I never thought I would, it would be me, I never thought I would be that person. I was always quite happy, but, you know, circumstances and things change and you kind of get pushed into doing it. And so at the moment I'm quite happy, I really enjoy what I'm doing. I think I might get a cleaner just to come in at the weekends and the whole place a spruce. I'd highly recommend a cleaner for your house as well.
Yes,
my husband has been helping with the housework, and we have slightly differing standards, but he's now said that I can have a cleaner, now I'm busy.
Hooray!
That's on my list of things to organise in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I second that.
You know, I'll tell you what I would really love would have been a mentor. So my friend Claire, who's the physiotherapist, has been great. But it would have been fantastic to have had someone who was doing animal physio and rehab already, just to bounce ideas off of. Because that's what I've really missed. Just having someone to, even when I was working in general practice, although, you know, I'm 9 years qualified, it was great just to go to someone, you know, one of the other vets with a case and just say, hey, you know, can you take a look at this x-ray? What do you think? You know,
right.
I'm really struggling with this case. Can you, you know, give me, just think about it from a different perspective? And that's what I really have missed doing this. It's been very much, you know, me dipping my toe in the pond and, you know, just jumping in, as it were, into the deep, dark depths. So yeah, if you've got someone who can help you, then I think that would have been brilliant.
No, that's great, and great advice. And I know that's, you know, for me, that's one of the reasons why I created Four Leg, is because you are not alone in saying that people wanted, you know, where can I figure out some things? I've got a case that looks like this, and oh my gosh, you know, my brain is fried, I cannot figure this out, or I cannot think of what else to do. So, but so that's my wee contribution, but you're right, you know, somebody else then that can help you and to bounce ideas off of would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a friend who's starting up a similar thing to me, and I think she's going to hope to be open in a couple of months, and she's been great for her because she just asked me all the questions that I've had to go and find out myself and do myself, kind of thing. So she's had the easy end, whereas there was no one that I could turn to ask.
Right.
Because there was no one.
No. That's great. Well, this has been absolutely great. So thank you so much.
I was going to say, I hope it's helped everyone.
Oh, I think so. You know, you have given everybody some great information here. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. And if people want to check out your website, can you give us your URL?
Yeah, it's activepet.co.uk.
Okay, so that's activepet.co.uk. That's awesome.
Yeah, if you want to go and see my attempt at web design.
I'm still so impressed.
All these things actually aren't that difficult. It's just actually sitting down and learning about them. They're not mentally taxing. I figured, you know, if I've got a vet degree, you know, why can't I go and do these things?
Sure.
You know, I had enough time. I got, you know, laid off from my other part-time job, so it was fine. You know, I just cracked on and did it.
Right. And then, you know, really we just have to give up watching some of these reality shows on TV and read instead.
Oh, I have no idea what's going on television. No idea.
So this is awesome. Thank you again, Philippa.
Thank you very much, Lori, for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Good, so this is Laurieette Hughes of 4leg.com signing off, and until next time, cheers.
Cheers.